Worshipful brethren, brethren all, welcome to Freemasonry in 7 minutes or less.
As we talked about in the previous podcast, we gave a summary of the hypothesis of the Dionysian artificers, which was that in ancient times there was a cult or sodality of temple builders operating in the Mediterranean and Levant linked to Dionysus, which was the ancient fraternity of masons that taught the spiritual aspects of craft masonry to the builders of King Solomon's temple. Whilst this is somewhat of an oversimplification of the theory, it's a fair one in my opinion, and is the basis of this episode. In my personal opinion, I think that DaCosta, the author of The History of the Dionysian Artificers, was attempting to reconcile the origins of the veiled spirituality of craft masonry to a possible historical origin with an academic zeitgeist of the time, and to one that would fit into Masonic framework. Something that's immediately apparent upon reading his brief text, which can be found in PDF form online rather easily, is that it's written so cartoon-like by design, it's as if there's a rhetoric to make you ask questions about the origins of the theology and spirituality of the architect of King Solomon's temple. For surely, if there was to be an architect of God's house on earth, then it can only be God himself. To understand his opinion, we need to delve a little deeper into the cult of Dionysus. Dionysus was a dying and resurrecting god of the ancient Mediterranean, with his festivals marked by the consumption of wine, ritual frenzy, and orgiastic revelry. Essentially, is what is referred to in academia as a fertility cult, and central to the myth was the dying and resurrection of the god, symbolic of the dying and resurrection of vegetation and the sun, with the solar rays impregnating the earth and thus driving the cycle of life. Predating Orphism, the Dionysiac cult is of uncertain origins, one possibility being that of Thrace. The academic categorization popular at the time of the text publication is a key part of the story, as the zeitgeist term for research was that of referred to as phallicism. As academia moved away from the highly intellectual and somewhat repressed attitudes of the Victorian era, research and thinking moved into new areas. During this time, the Villa of the Mysteries in Pompeii was found, and then it was promptly sealed by its Victorian discoverers in an attempt to preserve public decency. Deemed too lewd for the public, the Bacchic scenes of the frescoes of its walls were labelled subversive due to their highly erotic content. And it was this fashionable area of research that led to the hypothesis of the generative act being a metaphor for deity in the ancient world that is key to DaCosta's writings. Essentially, the hypothesis is that the more ancient fertility cults of the Levant and Mediterranean were phallic solar fertility cults, and that this knowledge, that was more ancient than that of King Solomon's temple, was the real truth behind the design of King Solomon's temple. Is this why the King Solomon in the Book of Kings was more than happy to erect temples on the high places for his many wives? Possibly, but you must also bear in mind that in the same Book of Kings, Elijah, or Eliyahu, battles with the solar-worshipping priests of Baal for that very reason. King Solomon's life is not without trouble, and I would say that the narrative of the Bible portrays King Solomon as such, as a flawed and human character. So returning to a more Masonic context, I think that this is one of the genesis points of the internet assertion that Freemasonry is a phallic cult. For after all, we do guard our Holy of Holies with an apron, do we not? Another popular reference for conspiracy theorists. I think that the apron comes from the fig leaf aprons worn by Adam and Eve in the garden. And this is why it's called the Badge of Innocence. Now, one other point of interest from conspiracy theorists is that of the broken column, often depicted in pictures as an angel with a scythe plaiting the hair of a woman on a pedestal with a broken column. Internet speculation has it that it's old father time, Kronos, plaiting the hair of Persephone or Rhea over a broken column representing that of the solar resurrecting phallus. The metaphor is that the life force or generative principle being withdrawn from time and space, and thus a symbol of death and the great initiation. And this is now where I quote Freud and say that sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. So were the teachers of the builders of King Solomon's temples orgiastic wine drinkers, and the temple a metaphor for the generative act? Maybe, possibly. And I have to say that I think that today's real lesson is that being opinion-based research. Because without academic rigor, whatever you're thinking will guide your research and it'll become opinion-based nonsense. You'll read into the metaphors, personal experience and opinions, and this shows the importance of clear and scientific rationale when putting pen to paper. So in other words, be a true Mason and a man of the Enlightenment and stick to science and not speculation. In other words, be more rigorous. Take care. So, Brother Earnshaw, do you have anything to add to this at all?
Well, I must agree that a cigar is just a cigar. Sorry.
I think so.
I was reading just the other day that a famous Masonic historian, and I forget which one, believed that Freemasonry was established or thought up or began in Egypt. This is such an old story. I think people sometimes they latch onto things and they just don't think it through properly. So maybe this is the same situation. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think this is particularly true around the 1700s and 1800s in France, with a lot of the research was going on, trying to tie everything to an Egyptian origin. And I think of Napoleonic era, especially with Anton Corder-Gebelin, with his theory on the origin of the Tara, I think it then became a very popular zeitgeist. And you can see a lot of things reflected even later on with the Golden Dawn. There's a lot of Egyptian themes in there. And I suppose it's looking for the origin point of ancient knowledge. I think that's
I think it was a kind of theme at the time in society. Yes. There's actually a term for it, Egyptology.
And Egyptomania as well, yes.
Yeah, Egyptomania, I was thinking of that. And but before Egypt came onto the stage, In England and Europe, but particularly England, China was the flavour of the week.
Yes,
for over 100 years, and so things go in cycles. I think yes,
this is it, and I think it's important to think of what was on the minds of the people penning the degrees as well. Because if you do read the charges, they do talk about the origin points being in Catalonia and. Obviously, we know that this is on the minds of the Renaissance thinkers. And what were they thinking? So what were the minds of Ficino and Pico della Mirandola thinking as the origins point for ancient knowledge? How is that reflected into the rituals?
And of course, they didn't have encyclopedias. They didn't even have the internet. No. So they tended to... rely on information that was local to where they were, I think. So if you were in Italy, you would have been strongly influenced by the Vatican.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. You're allowed to read what you're given.
What you're told to.
Absolutely. Yes. Don't think too much.
Things haven't changed much in the Catholic Church.
calm down. I think we'll leave that one there. If you have any questions, please email us on the link below. We now part on the square, and we will meet soon. Thank you, and goodbye.
Goodbye.